Coming up on Roundabout, a Model T Ford is commemorating a special anniversary in a very momentous way. Literally. Some unlucky folks had to put out a vehicle fire with some pretty unsavory stuff. Find out who and what in just a few minutes. And we'll take you back to the bad old days with a look at some of the worst station wagons ever. So stick around for all this garbage and a dumpster load more, only on Roundabout. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase. And by Tire Rack. Follow the link on our website to save up to $80.
From Not Raining for a Change, Seattle, Washington, I'm Alex Kirstein from Hooniverse.com.
From Los Angeles, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo from Auto Biddle.
From the Roundabout Multiplex in Livonia, Michigan, I'm Stephen J. Ewing from Autoblog.com.
From the fine family of Autoline Programs, I'm your host, Craig Cole.
And I'm producer Ben Sanders.
And this is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode 83, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
And so it is once again. We are gathered here.
Craig didn't cut me off this time.
Well, someone's still being a son of a bitch about that. But,
I think he exercised a measured pause there.
A pregnant pause, even, you could say.
Why don't you...
Hmm?
I don't know.
Stephen is depressed. His spirit has been wrung out of him.
It's the fluorescent
lights. You can
tell.
His hair's lying down.
Should it normally be spiked, Michelle? I mean,
yeah. It's the fluorescent lights.
Rub that against the mic so our listeners can get a taste of it, so to speak.
Hear that, everyone?
Yep. Grease and dandruff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be the next one to use that.
Ever.
You're going to have to boil it for 30 minutes.
Smells like hair product.
And shame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, lots of shame.
Yeah, well, could be worse. So we are here again, another Friday evening. We've gathered around the folks that we care most about in our lives, and we've come together for you, the listener, to do another just another great episode of Roundabout. You know,
I thought we weren't doing long intros anymore.
Well, we're not. We're getting
right into the meat of it. That was a new policy.
So you're dragging it out by asking me.
I'm just trying to move you along.
Have I been dragging this out too long?
What's the theme?
As I was going to say, the theme this week is what's old is new again. So we've got this sort of
mashup.
Oh,
that's why you were doing the long intro, because we used to do the long, tired intro,
you could
and now
say
we're
that.
Bringing it so it's new again.
You could say that if you wanted to be mean.
Okay.
But yes, so joining us, first time ever, very special guest, is Alex Kirstein from Hooniverse.
That's me.
Huh? So, yeah, we're glad you could
Hello.
Make it. From Seattle, Washington, no less.
Yeah, beautiful, sunny, uncharacteristically sunny Seattle. It's gorgeous.
The left
here.
Coast.
We've got two left coasters here. Mm-hmm. Of course, Joey, you are in Long Beach or wherever.
Irvine,
yes.
I'm in Irvine today, yeah.
Irvine, California. So, well, thank you guys all for joining us. We've got just a wonderful lineup of stories here. And the first one fits our What's Old is New theme beautifully because some folks are reenacting a very special historical event that happened way back in the year 1911. Sounds like it was a good year, though. I wasn't there personally, but if I could time travel, I would seriously consider going back to 1911.
That's slightly before. You would go back to 1911.
Something about the skimmer hats. Not going to lie.
You would fit in well in 1911, I feel like.
What does that mean, Stephen?
We'll talk about it after the show.
Well, I think... anyway... back in 1911, Ford had just moved into the British market and they were selling the Model T. And as a bit of a publicity stunt, the marketing guy that was at the company decided to drive said car to the highest mountain in the British Isles.
And I say,
the highest point in the land.
Which is called Ben Nevis. I don't know why they named it after a guy.
I thought that was the name of a golf player.
Perhaps. But Ben Nevis is evidently the highest peak in the British Isles, the United Kingdom archipelago, if you will, at 4,406 feet. So not so steep. But he drove the car up there, took 5 days to make the trek to the top of this mountain.
Well, they didn't quite have the roads that we have now.
It's true. And I imagine there are some mud or ruts or sticky peat bogs or something you'd get trapped in.
Did they put off-road or all-terrain tires on it?
I think they had wooden spoked wheels, Stephen, so no. I would guess not.
No, have you ever seen any of those of the videos where they're driving Model Ts like up and down the creek banks and they're just stock Model Ts?
Mm-hmm.
Those things were they were pretty good off-road.
Mm-hmm. The Universal car was quite adept at handling that rough terrain, but I digress. So to commemorate the occasion 100 years later, they basically got another Model T to the top of the mountain, but they weren't allowed to drive it because of the environmental issues. So the Model T Club over there basically carried one up part by part and reassembled it at the peak of the mountain.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I'm not carrying the engine block. Not going to do it. Sorry.
Stephen, that's dedication.
That. Yeah. I mean, they carried the car and then reassembled it at the top to commemorate the occasion. I mean, great. Somebody drove up there 100 years ago. Awesome. Do you really have to reenact it?
Well, if you can't drive up there.
But do you really even have to
reenact it? They could have saved some effort and just set up a Henry Ford-style assembly line that just was angled up the mountain.
And built it up the mountain. Yeah.
Brilliant. So, admittedly, a pretty cool feat, but maybe this should have gone in our segment. Why?
Perhaps.
And look at – so we found this on the Autoblog, autoblog.com, Stephen, your namesake website.
Yeah.
And they've got this lovely photo of a whole fleet of T's, presumably ones from the States because they've got the appropriate left-hand drive.
Appropriate is relative.
No, it is appropriate. It's the right way to drive. Anyway.
Yeah, but it's on the left, so it's not the right way to drive.
No, you're just taking me literally, Stephen.
It's trying semantics. To be punny, Craig.
That's so punny. Anyway, so yes, look at the positive camber on those front wheels. Can you believe that? I'm blown away. Apparently not. Crickets.
I'm
for our
blown
audience,
away.
Why don't you explain what positive camber is?
Look at the top of the front wheels.
This is the time when you should start to take your naps.
We're done here. Next story.
Did you just tell a story? I thought you were just waxing on.
Yeah. Pasty-powered cars. Alex, we have an article, another UK-themed article here.
UK and UP, because and, you know, pasties are an Upper Peninsula delicacy here
of
in Michigan.
Of Michigan, yes.
We just got a pasty shop in Long Beach.
Really?
They sound disgusting.
Pasties are a big old northern Michigan tradition.
They're awesome.
They're big in England. I love cheese and onion pasties.
I mean, who doesn't love pastry filled with meat? I mean, that's really
that's true.
The pinnacle of British cuisine. But
is it boiled though?
What's that?
Has it been boiled though?
Oh, I'm sure it's boiled before it's put in the pastry. I mean, how else can you prepare meat? I don't think there's another way.
And does it contain pigeon and or ox heart?
Pigeon and ox heart pasties are actually the best kind. I don't know if you've had them, but something about the way it just slides down your gullet, it's phenomenal. And,
well, didn't
really
they originate in the Midlands, too, I understand?
I think so. Yeah. I have no idea. I'm not really a pasty expert, but I do know that these scientists in the UK who probably blew through several million pounds worth of grants have discovered that
pounds money.
Right.
Yes. Well, and also probably they consumed a lot of the pasties as well. So quite literally. But apparently they're full of oil. Who would know this? You know, they're full of grease and
they're
oil.
They're an edible Saudi Arabia.
Pretty much. Yes. And they found a way to extract the oil from stale pasties and create a biodiesel out of it.
So, Michelle, from your experience – do they deep fry the pasties in the UK?
I was just going to ask.
No, they're actually baked.
Yeah.
And you know what?
That's what
every
I was
time I
say.
Open that link, I just have to tell you, it starts saying downloading malware.
Well, that's good.
So
hopefully
I didn't
you
actually
got a
look
Mac.
At the article past the little initial picture of the pasty. But yeah, they're not. They're more baked. I mean, it's like flakier. It's more like puff pastry.
Yeah, and that's how it is here as well. And I wondered, do they have so much oil because they deep fry them? I think I've encountered it in the UP where a couple places deep fry, but it's not very common.
Right, because the flaky pastry is actually just butter.
Exactly.
Booter.
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 They do have a few photos on here. And Ben, how close are these pasties pictured here to the ones that you have experienced? Now, I understand you used to work in a coal mine, and you would heat them up on your oil-burning lamp on top of a shovel.
On the back of my shovel when it was lunchtime. Yeah, I'd right over my lamp.
When did you work in a coal mine? I never knew that.
It wasn't actually a coal mine. That's the one thing you got wrong. It was a copper mine in the Upper Peninsula.
Well, now he's and that was right. Was that before or after Vietnam?
He was a draft
significantly
dodger.
Significantly before.
Vietnam wasn't a country yet. This was the 1860s.
Exactly.
And it was a whale oil lamp.
Well, then you could tell Craig what it was like in 1911 then.
That's right.
Well, unless you had died by then.
Sadly, it was delicious.
Good year. A good vintage then, as it were. Well, fascinating. I can't imagine there is such an abundance of stale leftover pasties that this is a viable source of fuel. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this seems like kind of a reach. I mean, exactly how many pasties can you – it seems like you'd be burning a lot more fuel driving around and figuring out which shops
collecting,
have a sale.
Exactly. Unless they're just blatantly wasteful. Well, we got to cook up 6,000 pasties for today's lunch rush, and oh, we've got like 5,500 left. Darn.
I've got a better idea. Just don't put as much oil into the pasties.
There you go.
Ship all your extra butter to the refinery.
I don't know. I think it's good for employment if we build a pasty pipeline.
I like this. I like this.
Straight into my mouth.
Let's get pasties for dinner when we're done.
Pasties? Any good pasty places around here?
Pastaria,
no.
Isn't it?
Always no. Leave me out, Stephen.
Huh? Why don't you... We'll
they just put a pasty
later.
Place in.
Long
pasty
Beach.
Place
yeah.
pipeline.
Yeah. So we'll get on Skype. Alex, I'm sure you can find one too in Seattle.
Speaking of getting on, this is what we should do.
Move on
to the next story.
Yes.
Craig's bored.
I'm hungry and I'm trying to speed things along.
Nauseous at the same time. It's
bored or boring.
Yeah, that too. Mm-hmm. I collect stamps. I should bring my collection in sometime, Stephen.
I would love
bottle
to look
caps,
at that.
Bottle caps as well.
I would be honored to look at your bottle cap collection.
What's the next story?
What, cars stolen in 1975, Michelle. Recovered.
I didn't do it.
Recovered on the opposite U.S. coast.
Well, it's another one of these stories, only this time it was on the East Coast. It was recovered here.
Let the record show that she used quotation marks with her fingers.
Was I quoting or was I just thinking?
I thought you did. I thought I saw it out of the corner of my eye.
Really?
Oh. Really?
Let's all stop and think about this.
Anyway, car stolen and then recovered 30-odd years later. What was it, 36 years later?
Yeah.
That's crazy
talk. A woman who owned a 69 Camaro in New Jersey, had it stolen from the post office where her father worked. Why do I have a feeling that it was actually her father's car?
Did you live there?
Well, did she visit her father at the post office often? I don't know. Anyway, so the car was stolen, and it ended up being purchased by a guy in California and not very far from me, and on eBay. Poor eBay. More bad press. And so I guess she's getting the car back.
Well, that's
and
great.
She's going to sell it.
That's awesome. But the poor guy that bought it, you know, that's going to suck. What happens to him? He squandered all this money on, I guess. I mean, what even happens?
I think he's out of luck, right?
I think, I don't know. In those cases, that, you know, that insurance policy that eBay has for purchases might cover it.
Mm. No, very good. Mm. Well, it's still amazing they were able to recover it so many decades later, you know.
Proof that the law does sometimes work.
But who was it? It was that guy from the pizza place that decided he wanted his original car back.
Papa John's.
Yeah. Right, and they managed to find
better
his car.
Better ingredients, still getting diarrhea. Papa John's.
Papa John's is pretty good, actually.
I'm a fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I'm lactose intolerant, so I have no idea.
Craig wouldn't know good pizza. He lives in the boonies.
You've never had Alibi Pizza.
I have had Alibi Pizza.
What's
it's
that?
Good.
It is very,
it's
very
superb.
Good. It
so
is
shut
superb.
Your trapper.
I have had Alibi Pizza, though.
All right, we're having a little Michigan debate here.
Don't you tell me things that I have or haven't
had. It's Mario's
this
up in
the Michigan
Merton.
Delicacies episode.
It should be.
The few that we have.
All right.
Pasties and...
Making me hungry. I wish I didn't throw up lunch.
Why do you have to record this during dinner time, guys?
I know.
You know, between the disgusting-looking pasties and the pizza I can't eat, I've been teased with all this food.
You're salivating, right? Yeah.
He's going to have to go eat his sprouts now.
Yeah.
I had
that's
a Veggie Delight sub
at
lunch.
That's what we do on this coast.
I love sprouts.
Yeah. Well, computer glitch is throwing things back.
Computer glitch, indeed.
To say the least, yes.
Yeah, this is quite a glitch in... Wilmington, California.
Which is right around the corner from me.
Oh, well, there you go. There was a gas station that had a glitch in its computer system and was selling gasoline for $1.10 a gallon.
It's just like it used to be in the Depression, I think.
Mm-hmm. And this happened for a 3-hour period of time on a Sunday morning. And, you know, because gas prices are like 4-something a gallon right now, it caused the gas station to lose about $21,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, serves them right. They're always gouging, right?
Yeah.
No, they don't, actually.
Gas station owners don't make any money off
they make the gas. Like 2 or 3 cents per gallon. Mm-hmm. Of course, if you have, you know, a gas station that's pumping 20 million gallons a day,
that adds up.
It's not too bad. But they make their money off the convenience store items, which is why when gas is so high, they do so poorly, because not only are they, you know, selling less gas because people are, you know, conserving on their gas usage, mm-hmm. people are less likely to buy
the honey buns or something, right?
Nat Cokes.
I don't know. After I see how much it costs to fill up my tank, I need something. I need a candy bar or something to make me feel better. So I'm doing my part, you know?
Yeah.
Helping support the hardworking folks, some blue-collar people. Yeah, they're manufacturing a service for people to buy. So anyway, 21 grand.
Yeah, that equates
8,000 gallons.
Yeah, 8,000 gallons of gas during a 3-hour time period. And apparently word was starting to spread and people were just lining up to get fuel for $1.10.
Weren't the police
there? You guys, I can tell you, this neighborhood, everyone was on their Nextel, like, speak talk phone. You know, doing that thing where they're like, like calling everybody they know.
Mm-hmm. Do they still make those phones? I mean,
yes, they
I don't know. People in my neighborhood have them.
When I was in college, many of my friends had them, and they were always bloop, 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 bloop. And I was like,
where are you at? Oh, no, yep. That's the other one.
That's the side. No, what was that
it
one?
It sounds like a Fisher-Price product, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Well,
when was gas last $1.10 a gallon? It feels like. Oh, you know,
the 90s, probably
about when I was in high school.
In the 80s?
Yeah, filling up my S10. The 80s.
I remember it.
No.
In high school for like a couple of months, it was 99 cents a gallon, and it was pretty amazing.
I actually saw it. I witnessed it go down to like 77 cents.
Oh, my God.
For like 2 days.
The lowest I ever remember was like the early 90s. I was probably in elementary school. 89 cents was the lowest I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
89.
Wow.
I remember I did a video with a friend of mine our senior year of high school, and we were driving, and we were commenting on
last year?
No. We were commenting on how high gas prices were and, you know, how everything was just so expensive. And we pan up to the sign above the gas station, and it was because gas was like $1.40.
Oh, my God.
A gallon.
Outrageous.
We were freaking out.
No, I remember being like really upset when it shot up to about $1.30. I was like, I can't believe this. This is just ridiculous.
I remember when it hit $2, people were freaking out.
Oh, yeah. Maybe
that was about the time the Kaiser stole the word for 20, right?
Right.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, it's a Dutch artist is turning some junk. He's a pretty resourceful guy, turning junk into some pretty attractive art here, Michelle.
Into not junk.
Really?
Into a lot not junk.
A lot not junk?
This is nice stuff here. He's from Holland. Isn't that weird?
Holland.
Would you like me to tell what the story is, or do you just want to talk about it?
I'd like you to take the reins, Michelle.
Okay. Well, there is a Hollandaise artist.
That's not correct.
That I can be a fake who's creating some artwork, and I'm not going to say his name. I can say Deirdrick, but I can't say the rest of it. And he's making these wooden Kreyefeld car sculptures.
Kreyefeld.
Kreyefeld. There you go. You said it. And I think they're really nifty looking. I like them.
And the catch being, he doesn't repaint any of the pieces of discarded wood that make up the
automobile.
The art.
Yes.
So he's just finding things that are already the right color and then putting them in the right place?
Isn't that nuts?
It's like a mosaic.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's pretty excellent.
It's ludicrous, in fact.
I would hang one of these above my commode. I think that is a beautiful piece of art.
Take the GT.
Most people
golf,
buy for above blue. Their sofa, Alex.
Well, that is his sofa, Michelle.
I'm not most people.
You spend more time on your commode, you said?
That's where I do my best work. Let's be honest.
Well, I'm
all right, moving right along.
Well, that ties in nicely with our next story, Alex, because there were some workers at a prison in Grafton County, New Hampshire. They were planting some taters out in the field when the Ford Ranger pickup they were driving burst into flames due to a ruptured transmission oil cooler line. And the only thing they had available at the time was a tanker load of liquid cow manure, which they thankfully were able to use to extinguish the flaming truck. So it's a pretty shitty day at the job, wouldn't you think?
Thanks for the automatic playing video, Mr. Levine.
Isn't that nice? Irritating. Yes, but so yeah, I mean, they because this tank. Several thousand gallons of liquid feces, I would imagine, had a special sprayer nozzle on top. That's how they dispense it in the fields.
Lovely.
So they just back it up near this flaming truck, just burning to the ground, and spray it down with poop water. So, or
poop water.
Or stool tea, if you prefer.
Oh.
And, yeah, they thankfully extinguished it. But said it, Michelle.
I can't wait for that truck to show up on eBay. You know, they'll just send it to.
The article mentioned that the prison convicts that were working just ran away when it caught on fire, so the guards had to chase them, and they wasted time because there was a fire extinguisher in the truck. They could have just used to put it out, you know, nipped it in the bud, so to speak. But everybody started running away. The guards had to corral the prisoners, and then before you know it, truck goes up in smoke. So, yeah, interesting story or not interesting, Stephen? You be the jury.
It's a little poopy.
You could say that.
It leaves me all a squitter.
Oh.
Did they have a champagne there, Ben?
We won't get into that.
No, we won't.
That story is crap.
That story is crap.
Speaking of crap.
Yeah, speaking of crap.
The next article is certainly something, and are you pouring a cup of tea, or was that?
That's a cup of stool tea.
Ew.
I never want to hear that again.
Ew.
And that's your
Oh my God!
It sounds like
that.
You're boiling frosting.
Speaking of stool tea, have you seen the color of a particular Cadillac Escalade?
Do tell, Stephen.
Yeah, this Escalade, I don't know if you guys have heard of the company Fab Design, but they're famous for making me want to throw up at the Geneva Motor Show with their hideous blue SLS AMG. And they've just about done it again with this Escalade that is, while brown, perhaps the ugliest Escalade.
Is it the Zune Edition?
I've ever seen. It is not the Zune Edition, because at least the Zune is not this. Fab Design ruined an Escalade. They did this. My favorite part of it is how the Escalade has like a vertical row of projector beam headlights and running lamps and turn signals in its headlamp cluster, and they put this cover over it that just has holes for each individual light, which so like reducing that. But then below it have put these giant, like, Nissan Juke-style fog lights that are just ridiculous. And then, of course, you've got enormous chrome wheels, big fender flares, and it's just...
It's awful.
Is that
Nine
Python?
Ways to Sunday.
That is Python, actually. The client that they made this for, quote, wanted the car to look like no other Escalade and to have an interior lined with genuine snake leather and crocodile imitating leather.
At least you didn't get the whale leather.
Crocodile imitating is my favorite part.
Like the darts prom bron.
Yeah, but this is just
400
seriously
gallons.
Hideous. Oh, and they've got the cover over the rear window, the slats.
It looks like those old Mustangs you would have. They'd put those awful...
Yeah, on the sides.
I don't even know what they were for.
The rear tailgate.
Well, no, they'd have them over the back window. Or you'd see them on Dodge Daytonas or something. Those
Louvers,
yeah.
Or the exhaust. Oh, yeah, the exhaust. That's
quad exhaust?
Too. It's quad exhaust vertical. So, like, two, one on top of the other, pushed way out to the sides of the fenders. This is...
It's a piece
atrocious.
Of work.
Atrocious. I would rather
is this
drive...
Is a car?
I would rather drive a Smart.
Oh, you
it
know,
needs mini blinds on the inside.
Universe has standards, okay? And then this exceeds them by a lot. Way too much to actually go on the site. You know what I like, actually, about this? The running boards, it appears that they're cheese graters. I think you could just scrape up against a giant wheel of cheese and have some road nachos.
Oh, God, this thing is... It's sad. And they didn't even do anything... cool under the hood. They just left the normal V8.
Well, the guy's this guy, clearly he's an all show no go kind of person.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say no go. The Escalade isn't a slouch.
No, but if you actually cared about performance, you'd have done something.
Yeah, at least give it like 2,000 horsepower or something.
Yeah, die.
Or at least how about snakeskin valve covers at a minimum?
I like the way this man thinks.
And I want I want the steering wheel from a Lotus.
Covered in whale skin.
Covered in whale skin.
Right?
From a very intimate part of the whale.
You weren't here for that episode. That was her.
But I know that story. Yeah. I want the headliner done in bee skin. I want the skins of bees.
Flayed and
covering the entire headliner.
Well, we're going to leave that up to you, Stephen, because I don't know where to find bee skin.
I'm just saying. If they can get whale... Orifice is the wrong word.
Opposite fist.
Oh my goodness.
We don't need to go any further.
Yep. So equally awful. We've got an article. So, you know, a lot of Americans are averse to station wagons as practical or, you know, simple functional vehicles that they are. A lot of Americans don't like them.
Blasphemy.
Which is awful.
Europeans adore
them. If you're an American and you don't like station wagons, you should be ashamed of yourself.
It's okay. Some people could dislike it. You're not getting angry about
No, you should
this.
Be ashamed of yourself. You're not a true American if you don't like station wagons.
Well, we've got
Apple
a roundup.
Station wagons.
Yeah.
Exactly.
On the Hooniverse, we've got a roundup of some of what you guys, Alex, I'm pointing the finger now, are calling the worst wagons ever produced.
Yeah, you know, when Jim comes down on an American wagon, you know it has to be particularly bad. And, you know, from reading through his article, you can feel the pain of generations of American children being stuck in the back seat on those horrible leather benches with no opening rear window.
That was the line that got me out of all this whole article. The
Can
rear
you guys
windows-
believe that?
That beats the Dodge Neon that when you got power windows had cranks in the back. This takes the cake because they don't even roll down. How much – that is the worst cost cutting ever.
But what you have to do is you have to then immediately think about the great American wagons that have been built. The Chevy Celebrity Eurosport wagon.
Mm.
The current CTS-V wagon perhaps.
Okay.
I mean, the list of wonderful wagons is much, much longer than the list of bad wagons. And even as bad as these, I believe they're G-body wagons. Did I get that correct?
I don't know. They were the downsized ones in the 80s. Everything
about
the 80s
sucked.
These
god-awful things were. They were terrible, but even considering how terrible they were, some nutcase, I found this late last year – some nutcase crammed a 454 into the front of one of these bad boys, and it was my Car of the Year nomination on Hooniverse.com. It was the Wullet. It was party up front, party in the rear.
Nice.
It's great. Maybe we can throw a link up to that article.
Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes, roundaboutshow.com. And also, that's where you'll be able to find the photos of that Escalade we were talking about a minute ago.
Don't look at it. You don't want to look at it.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, don't look at either, really. Let's be honest.
I'm telling you, you don't want to look at it.
Okay, the wagons, though, under the hood, that's even more depressing than the lack of roll-down windows, I think. Because
right.
the engine lineup, 200 cubic inch V6 or a 231 cubic inch V6 that delivered 95 to 110 horsepower. Terrible. Terrible.
Or horror of horrors, a 260 diesel V8. I mean, I knew about the Oldsmobile 350 diesel, which goes down in history as the best boat anchor ever made. But I didn't. They made a one-year-only one that was even more awful than that. It's just a cornucopia of horrors.
Exactly. 95 to 110 for the V6s. And then one of which, the Buick V6, did not feature even firing. They took a V8, chopped two cylinders off the end, made a V6 out of it. That's common to do. Mm-hmm. Saves on architecture costs and engineering and everything. But you've got to do something known as an offset crank pin, because the V8 firing order is different than the V6. And you need to adjust the timing of the cylinders, of the pistons as they're running around, so that it is balanced. They did not do that. They simply chopped two cylinders off and called it good enough, so the engine was not even firing and vibrated horribly.
Well, you got to keep in mind, this is old GM we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. So anything was possible, right?
Oh, yeah.
Including deciding that for a transmission for these wonderful wagons, they were going to pull the Turbohydramatic 200 out of the incredibly reliable lineup of their smallest cars, the Vega and the Monza. I mean, brilliant, brilliant thinking. With no modifications, we're going to put it in a heavier vehicle.
With a much more torque-rich engine, right?
Yeah.
Well, much being a relative term, but yes.
So, yeah, awful wagons, and you can check them out in all their glory at Hooniverse.com.
I love how you guys say that. I noticed during that whole article discussion, Craig said roundaboutshow.com, and Alex said Hooniverse.com, just so that people wouldn't confuse, you know, that you don't have – that it's not an office building, and it's not a book. It's not a magazine. It's an actual website.
Yeah, but maybe they were thinking of roundaboutshow.gov.
Exactly. Or .org.
Or roundaboutshow.com.
Yeah,
there's also hooniverse.xxx, which is a don't go there. Don't.
Oh, wait,
no,
what?
No.
Michelle, not at the work computer, all right?
Whoa.
Why do you think I brought my computer from home?
That's naughty. So last story in the news portion of the show, we have got what I'm going to call a fanboy face-off here, because Michelle and Alex, you two are going at each other's throats here in regards to the new Beetle that Volkswagen revealed not long ago at the New York
Auto
Show.
The new Beetle.
There you go.
New.
That
new,
they
new.
Took the word new off of.
The 2012.
Well, how old was the last one?
It the
was
new Beetle?
Like 50 well, years old, because it came out in the 90s. It's older than the original that they were still producing.
No, right?
But so we've got article on Autoholics, powered by Car Domain, no less, talking about the 2012 VW Beetle. And a variety of folks have done some pretty nice Photoshops on VW Vortex, which is a popular forum on the cyberweb. But you two are at differing ends of the spectrum here in regards to the Beetle. Alex, you hate it. Michelle, you adore it. Am I right?
I wouldn't say adore. I'm such a giver. I want to give Alex a platform for his fury.
Okay, let's hear it. Duke it out.
You know, I don't even want to spend the breath on it, because I don't like coming down harshly.
Well, you've already failed.
I want to give it a chance, but you know, say something nice about it and I'll pick it apart. How about that, Michelle?
Okay, I'm looking down the photos. Who wouldn't want a VW that you could make look like a Porsche?
Isn't that every Porsche?
The RS one, the one with the orange wheels, and actually I would drive that. I would drive. I don't know that I would own it, but I would wrap it around a telephone.
You wouldn't kick it out of bed.
No.
I like the third one down with the white walls.
You would.
Of course I would. And it's murdered out.
That's not murdered out.
No?
No.
It looks dark. Matte finish to me. Anyway.
You could make it dark.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to Ashton Kutcher and he'll murder it out for you.
Is that what he does?
That's what he does. There were a lot of articles about how every SUV he owns has been murdered out. So
that's what he's doing these days.
It's certainly not movies or TV shows, right? All right. So, Michelle, what do you like about this? Throw something out there for Alex.
Well, I think that, you know, that there is a lot of evidence that, you know, some people have absolutely no taste in cars and they buy Lexuses, right? And then or the Corollas or whatever, and they don't really care what their car looks like. And then there's people who actually identify their sort of the quirkiness of their vehicles. I don't know anybody like that. And they buy funny looking vehicles because they either look like pregnant ants or, you know, bugs or something like that.
Can ants get pregnant?
Mine can. And
is that
ant
or A-U-N-T?
I'm confused.
And so now we, you know, here's, I think this one has a little more personality than the previous Beetle. It definitely has more of a face going on. It's starting to look like a Wallace and Gromit character.
Aww.
For sure. And I think, you know, I know whether or not that translates well into the male category who they think is going to buy these, I don't know. But I think, I think I could see this doing well with women.
I'll give it a couple of pluses. It's not really to my taste, but it's still pretty distinctive. You look at it and it's instantly, you know, it's a new Beetle. That's a good or a bad thing, depending on what you think. And it also looks a lot different than the outgoing model. It's wider. The roof isn't a perfect arc. So I think it's successful in that it is the same yet different. That's hard to do, actually. That's not an easy thing. Mm-hmm. That's me being very political.
No, now tear it apart. True.
Now I wouldn't be caught dead in it. I just think it doesn't do anything for me.
Your wife's calling to say I want the new Beetle.
Yes, I'm already getting angry phone calls from
VWPR. They're not even watching. Nobody's watching. But yeah. I must say, seeing the photo, seeing it at the New York Auto Show, they did a bang up job on the interior. I really liked the design that they did there, but. Mm-hmm. Not so
it's
much.
It's not a bad-looking car.
It's better, just, certainly better than this.
It's just stupid.
Well, we know where Steven comes down.
Stupid.
How's the dashboard to windshield situation? I remember in the old one there was like quite a swim platform there that
you could lose your firstborn.
It was that sort of that Chrysler cab forward design,
yes, like the LH car.
Yeah,
yeah. Put the A-pillars 15 feet in front of you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is so weird because all modern cars have big dashboards for the crash, you know, crumple zone, basically. But I'm restoring a 36 Ford, and literally the windshield is right in front of you. If it were fogged up, you just wipe with a rag, and it's
just lick it.
You could without straining, even. You just
that's how it is on the Mini.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, guys. Coming up after the break, we uncover a.
Wait, you didn't declare a winner of the fanboy face-off.
I can't pick a winner. I can't pick between two perfect choices. Come on.
Oh.
Let's let the fans vote.
They both lose.
Old Man Ewing has proclaimed that they both lose.
They both lose.
So coming up after the break, we uncover a deadly demon that could be lurking in your car's dashboard. We will teach you how not to do a motorcycle burnout, and we'll get to another thrilling installment of Meet Your Roadmates. And what will Ben's stepped reckoner spit out this week? Who knows? The only way to find out is to stay tuned, so don't you go anywhere or even think about doing something else, because we will be back in just a jiffy. And right now, I would like to speak a little bit about our good friends at Advance Auto Parts. Steven, have you purchased things from Advance Auto Parts yet?
No.
You're supposed to say yes.
Yes.
Very good. What kind of articles did you buy for the CRX?
I bought...
floor mats? Great. They have all kinds of floor mats at Advance.
No, I didn't, because my floor mats and my CRX are the original SI floor mats that...
Well, then you don't want to get them damaged, so...
Right, so I bought a new set of all weathers.
Exactly.
See how that works out?
Yeah,
and now
you're right.
We have an exclusive offer for all of our Roundabout Show listeners, and this applies to you as well, Alex, as a Roundabout Show participant, so don't feel that you're excluded. We have a very exclusive, very special offer going on right now. If you go to our website, roundaboutshow.com, and you look on the right-hand sidebar of the page, you will see a button for Advance. Click on that, and that gives you access to an exclusive offer that is only available through us. So again, go to our website, roundaboutshow.com, Advance Auto Parts link in the right-hand sidebar of the page. And right now, they are running a special offer. You can save $10 on orders of $30 or more, $20 on orders exceeding $50, or take $30 off an order of $100 or more. So again, that's 10 off 30, 20 off 50, or 30 off 100. Some pretty good savings. That's a lot of savings, Ben.
That is a screaming deal.
Yes. And again, once more, the only way to get these deals is to follow the link on our website, roundaboutshow.com. And even if you're not in the market for some for auto parts, they've got all kinds of stuff. Repair, replacement parts, aftermarket stuff, pedal covers, floor mats, whatever. You can still click on the link and show that you support both Roundabout Show and Advance.
I love it.
And so do I. So we thank Advance for helping us out.
That's right.
Yes. And anyway, with that, it is time to move on to our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. And this week, we've got a little feature about GPS units that kill. Dun, dun, dun. GPS, death by GPS is evidently becoming a more common problem
okay,
as people choose to ignore common sense.
I have to speak up about this. All of these stories about death by GPS are, to me, I feel bad for these people. Like, I'm sorry
you're an idiot.
Got stuck in the situation. Yeah. But if your nav system is blatantly telling you to go the wrong way, like if you're driving through a field or you're driving through the forest, or like if you look where this woman that we're going to talk about who was stranded yes. in her Chevy Astro van, they're in this like national park sort of looking place, clearly not on a road. When you get to that point, when do you say to yourself, maybe the system is wrong?
And it's she the fact wasn't just that stranded. She was there 7 weeks.
7 weeks.
Weeks.
It's
two months, nearly 2 months.
These people are so dependent on the nav systems to get around that they're like, well, it told me to turn right. I have to turn right, even though this is a one-way street. I have to turn right. It's got to be correct. It's these people that we're just so dependent on this technology now that
I blame Apple for that.
I hate it. It's just like people are getting so stupid that they can't even just stay on the road.
What if they wanted to die?
Well, if they want
ineffective suicide technique because it took 7 weeks.
Well, if they wanted to die, they would have set the Chevy Astro van on fire.
It's got a 35-gallon fuel tank. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to go up in smoke there. Yeah.
That's a pretty slow way to go. 7 weeks in an Astro van. You know, if I'm going to off myself, I'm going to choose something a little bit faster than that.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Maybe in the 5 week range.
Well, she didn't die, which is good. You know, which is good.
Although her husband is still missing,
so they kind of.
Well, he was in a wheelchair. I understand he went off to get help.
I don't remember anything about a wheelchair.
He wasn't. Whoops.
I mean, like, I'm glad this woman obviously is all right, but I do not feel bad for her. Like, I have no sympathy for her.
I'll tell you the only thing. I got, like, these weird, like, pings in my stomach of, like, chills back to the roundabout road trip.
Mm-hmm. Last
when
year.
We almost ran out of gas in the middle of Wyoming. Was it Wyoming?
Oh, yeah. It was Wyoming, all right.
It was Wyoming.
There was
and
nothing
the GPS
there.
Kept,
oh, that's right. I was there.
Yeah, you were there. And the GPS kept telling us, the gas station's right around the corner. Just take a right.
And we would get to the spot it would tell us to go to, and then, redirecting.
Two
cycles or
three
cycles of this.
We're using precious gas, like, looping back and forth.
On this, like, 10-mile loop, too. Yeah. It wasn't go up to the next road.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, Grant, I agree with everything.
GPS did about Mount, whatchamacallit?
Rushmore?
We went the back road for Mount Rushmore.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah, it took the dirt road to get to Rushmore, per the sink lady, Samantha. She's a bitch. She doesn't know what she's doing.
I didn't realize you'd named her.
That's the Ford
all the
name.
Time, I thought I was sleeping with you on the trip.
Ford
and were
named.
Talking to Samantha?
Ford named her. Don't ask me why they called her Samantha.
You're about to lose the only woman in your life.
You really want to go down this road, Craig?
Yes.
He has his mother and his grandmother.
So, this is not about me. This is about everyone here. Roundabout
I'm not
road
involved
trip.
In
it's
this.
Very inclusive.
We are with open arms.
My rule with that sort of thing, though, is, and if we do a road trip that I'm ever on, you will experience this. When you get to a quarter tank, just get gas.
And that was the thing.
Yeah, just
we were at a quarter of a tank.
Oh, and you used up that much? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
we were so far in the middle
right. of nowhere.
Well, you didn't get stranded in your MKT for 7 weeks.
Almost.
Well, I had to walk up to this building. Okay. Like, this was like half a mile away. So, guys, I'm going to walk over there. There are trucks, semi-trucks. It's like a repair garage for trucks. So I go walking down the road to get there, and nobody's there. So I phoned Ben the number that was on the door and had him call as I was wandering back. I was too despondent to talk to anybody at the time. So,
but anyway, going back to this story at hand here about this whole outbreak of death by GPS, as it's being named, I have no sympathy for these people. Yeah. It's just
little
proof
common
that,
sense.
Yeah, you're just not thinking your way through this.
Well, yeah.
And have a map in the car. They're not that hard to read.
Oh, my God. Stephen, thank you. Because you know what? I wasn't allowed to have a map on the road trip.
I don't understand that. Why?
An iPad.
I don't understand.
Somebody told you you couldn't have a map?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure
don't
it wasn't
get people like maps still exist for a reason because it's a tangible thing you can take with you. You don't have to rely on technology for it, and it's correct. It's not going to mess up. It's not going to glitch.
You forget about the deadly problem that exists with maps, which is, according to that Garmin commercial, sometimes they turn into Mapasaurus, which
that
is a,
too.
You know, destroys a small village. It's a giant map, yes.
Those holding them can cause paper cuts or repetitive stress injuries. You don't want maps.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, but no, I will take a map.
Ben, weren't we at... We got to the gas station eventually in the MKT. 0 miles of range.
Yes,
it wasn't just like it wasn't
over,
like five.
No,
it wasn't like
just as we pulled
three,
in, we
zero.
Pulled into the one gas station. It clicked right to zero,
and we had to wait 2 hours.
Yeah, we had to wait 2 hours
there.
For the woman to come in and open it up. Oh, hi!
But then they had a really nice restroom, didn't they, Craig? I mean, Ben.
Oh God!
I was just going to bring that up, Michelle. But thank you for doing it.
The restroom there.
I used the porta john. That was like two blocks away that some construction workers had set up. I had to take a leave, so I walked down there.
I didn't want to bother the poor construction workers.
Brand, this is the nicest port-a-john I've ever been in my life. This thing was brand freaking new. Brand new. Never been used. Like, sparkles were falling as I entered. Took a tinkle and left and said, Ben, go use that one. It's right there. It's great. And Ben's like, no, I'm going to be uncomfortable for the next hour and a half and sit here. Pinching my
grumpy.
Cheeks together. Yes, getting, yes. Nobody's eating the muffins. Oh, that's funny for a reason nobody will understand. But
I bought some their blueberry.
Alex, you have to come on our next road trip.
I think I might next time if I am ever invited on one of these road trips, I think I'm going to plan ahead and bring a 7 week supply of pasties. I think that's what I'm going to do
for the oil to
I
burn.
I would advise
or?
It.
I'll bring a map.
Any contingency, really. We could make it into fuel, or we could survive for 7 weeks in the woods.
We had 6 pounds of gummy bears.
That was an impulse buy, I understand.
Don't you think we could have gotten fuel out of that somehow eventually?
Or diabetes from all that sugar. That's one thing for sure.
Oh, that's a good stopping point right there.
Yep. So GPS, don't trust the computers so emphatically, you know?
Or get an all-wheel drive Astrovan.
Or get an all-wheel drive Astrovan, exactly. Or,
no. We can't advocate that, Alex, no.
Oh, fine.
How did they even get that Astrovan down in that gully? I mean, that's a piece of work there.
Jeez. Well, you know what it is. They're Canadians.
Okay.
I don't know.
You're not actually going anywhere with that?
No.
Okay, well, there you go. Fair enough. Next up, who is ready for a self-esteem boost? Because we are doing another edition of Stupid Car Trick.
Oh, boy.
Go on, boy. Go get it. Go on now.
You notice whenever Ben doesn't have the sound effect absolutely ready, he has some little interjection. Oh, boy.
Sometimes
stall
just,
for time, stall
just,
for time.
Just have to fill time.
Oh, golly gosh.
Heaven forbid you edit that out. But,
oh, boy.
So we... Is Droopy Dog going to show up, Ben?
I just got to get the sound effects ready.
I'm going to piss myself.
Oh, good. There's a porta potty out back for you.
All right, so we got streetfire.net, great site for all kinds of crazy car-related videos. In this case, we've got one about a motorcycle guy doing a burnout. And this is how not to do a motorcycle burnout because the guy nearly burns himself to death.
Yeah, this is truly a burnout.
Truly a burnout.
Literally, I think you could say.
Literally a burnout.
I love that people are pouring their sodas and their beers and their waters all over the motorcycle just to try and put out this there fire.
You know, I got to say, there is more douchebaggery going on here than, like, a day-long marathon of Jersey Shore. I mean,
I'm sorry, but this sort of thing brings out the South in me.
Very genteel.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the energy drinks. Cut off shirts. It's like, what the hell? Go get yourself a nice button up with a collar.
So what exactly happens here, Craig?
I explained it.
The end of the video. On. The dude who set himself on fire just looks around at everyone and goes,
I know.
Like, yes, I've done it.
He cheated death. He's like Evel Knievel.
I don't think he's like Evel Knievel at all.
Michelle, how does this make you feel?
All fired up.
Well played.
And Alex, what about you?
This makes me want to go get a motorcycle.
Does really. It?
That's and an asbestos suit.
God, he sounds like Josh Topolsky from Engadget. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. We just have to stop this now.
What are you
going to do about it, Craig? And they can change?
There's not much I can do, Michelle, frankly.
Don't go changing.
So if I meet him in real life, is the world going to wink at
him? It's going to be the rapture. So
I think so.
How convenient. Tomorrow.
You'll meet Josh Topolsky.
We fly up to heaven.
I'm sorry, the what?
The AOL family of the owl.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not anymore.
I've heard of the AOLs.
Yeah, I believe he left Engadget. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did, yes. I'm just saying.
You've got Engadget.
Do you need a topical cream for that?
I've heard of the AOLs.
So, don't do a burnout on your motorcycle if it's leaking gasoline, because presumably it will catch on fire.
Presumably.
Lesson learned. And now it's time for Highway Hearsay. Another throwback. It's our theme.
That's the closest you're ever going to get to headbanging.
Tales from the open road.
Seizing. Highway Hearsay is all about what we've seen out on the road, from weird sightings to the stupid things people do. And I had a bit of a curious encounter over the weekend.
Did you?
I was out and about.
Out.
It was the weekend I'm allowed out. And I was driving and managed to snap a photo of it, stopped at a light, a lovely orange Mazda Speed Protégé.
I love that car.
I'm not surprised. But orange Mazda Protégé. And I thought, that looks funny. So I took a picture and very curious custom plate, which if you click on the link, Craig, you'll be able to see, spells out, pull me over.
Plume over.
Plume
over.
Plume over. Plum over.
Plum over.
But you get the idea.
Meowver.
Plum meowvar. Wow.
I think that might have just become a sound.
I'm sorry. The Mazda Speed Protégé was a very cool little car.
That's what I want to talk about. They're rare. They're beautifully balanced front drivers.
Like, honestly, I hope the reason why you took this picture wasn't, oh, look at that weird plate. It was, whoa, look at that really good-looking Mazda Speed Protégé.
It wasn't that great.
I like it. Steven and I are
you like it because it's orange, Michelle.
Protégé. Oh, Michelle, let's.
Can I come if I bring beef jerky?
Yes. Teriyaki just beef jerky.
No dairy products.
No, just beef jerky.
Yeah, we'll get in our orange Speed Protégé and drive off.
160 horsepower from a turbo 4.
This was like the mid-2000s.
The SVT folks had 170 from a naturally aspirated 4 of the same displacement.
Yeah, and this one has a wing.
Oh, great, I can iron my shirts.
This was like the predecessor to the Mazda Speed 3, though.
So you like this one better? It's retro. It fits our, you know, what's old is new again theme.
I like the Speed 3, though. I like the Speed Protégé.
Alex, what's the West Coast consensus on this vehicle?
Well, I like orange. There's not enough orange cars out there. Why did orange have to die with the muscle cars?
Sure. Did I forget to mention that it has a wing?
Don't you guys find the license plate a little provocative, though?
We don't care about the license plate anymore. We're talking about the car, Craig.
Exactly. You know, the thing was post muscle car, and it came in orange, and you could get a thing with a wing.
Mm-hmm.
A thing with a wing. I love it.
Orange is sort of starting to come back, though. When Ford launched the Edge, they launched it in that orange color.
Yeah.
I love that we were steadfastly refusing to talk about the license plate.
Even the wheels are cool. They're good aftermarket wheels. I don't care for the tint job or the aftermarket tail lamp covers, but
not a tint fan. Huh?
It's a good looking car. No, I'm not a tint fan.
Why?
I don't know. I just if the windows, if they weren't tinted from the factory, they shouldn't have been tinted.
Wasn't meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree.
Mm.
God disagrees.
I like the ones that are. They're frosted at the top. They go from reflected to back.
The reflective, like one way. Those are nice too.
Like the mirrored thing.
Yeah, that's extra illegal.
How many times do you think this guy? Okay, so I want to ask about the plate. How many times would you guys bet he's been pulled over because of the plate?
Probably
surprisingly
never.
Less than you think.
Probably none. It's like hiding in plain sight. Mm-hmm. Probably he has never gotten a speeding ticket.
He's probably trafficking people right there. Probably evidence you could use in court.
You know what? I have been pulled over for more than once, seriously, is because a lot of the press cars have odd license plates on them. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I don't know if this is still true, but the Michigan Police Department had issues running the Illinois manufacturer plates that come in on some of the cars. And more than once, driving on the highway, and I had a cop behind me. I wasn't doing anything wrong, but he was just trying to run the plate on the car and couldn't, so pulled me over because of it.
Well, here's a fun story. Coming home from my friend's house one night, and through downtown Romeo, cop pulls me over. I'm driving a Mazda 3. Wasn't doing anything wrong. He's like, you know why I pulled you over? I'm like, I have no idea. And he's like, you ran that red light back there. I'm like, I didn't, but okay. It's because the car had California plates on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. Right, Michelle? They're out to get us all.
You are simple, Craig.
A simple focus.
You have no idea how many times she has been pulled over California plates.
I can only imagine.
Right now I'm driving around Michigan plates.
Well,
Michiganawa?
That's different.
I am. For the once, when we don't have in the garage, I actually have a car.
Save it for next week. Yeah. Collect those impressions.
Is she on next week?
She is.
Yeah, I believe so. But Michelle, you also had a highway. You had a highway hearsay.
I do. Last week when I was getting ready to leave work, I looked at SigAlert.com, which is our little map that has, it's like a Google Earth map that has all the speed limits of the freeways between going all over Southern California, and they have this overlay of cameras, so you can actually look at, the live traffic that's, going in a particular direction. And I looked at the traffic going north towards Long Beach, and at one of the locations where this camera was, it was a little bit odd looking. And
I don't see what's odd about it. That was totally normal to me.
Right.
they're just going fast enough to make enough downforce to drive along the ceiling. That's what
right.
Oh, that is strange.
Upside down.
Now, was the camera facing the correct direction? It wasn't like it broke off and was dangling facing the wrong way.
Yeah, it was actually facing the correct direction. And then I actually, when I got to that intersection, because I went ahead and decided I would face the end of the world. I just put the twit pic of the next picture there. I took a picture of it and twit picked it, which apparently I made some people sick to their stomachs.
Well, there you go. How do you like it?
It's a home dinger.
There you go.
There it is.
Well, good eye, Michelle, on catching that little guy there before he got away, before the internet sucked him up. So. Who is ready for some Meet Your Roadmates? I know I am.
Me.
So enthusiastic. Who's driving that Jeep Liberty next to you? Why do Nissan Sentra owners always work at Coney Islands?
They don't.
Each week, Meet Your Roadmates answers these burning questions and more Ben, what is our first vehicle this week?
As you know, every week we randomly choose vehicles via our supercomputer.
It's not every week. A Cray supercomputer?
A what?
Cray.
Cray?
I think that's
the Cray. You don't know. Oh, my gosh, Craig, do you know something that Ben doesn't?
He knows quite
many
a lot
things.
That I do not.
I was kidding.
Cray, supercomputer, manufactured in Seattle. Hey, hey.
Whoa.
Hey, hey, Cray.
What?
Gotta represent or something.
Anyway.
All right, I'll start this baby up. It always takes a few minutes, so go ahead and get a Coke or whatever. God damn it.
Again? All right, go.
Yes, I know. Gotta give it a kick sometimes. There we go. Oh, the fumes. But you get used to it.
Ooh. Oh my god, I can barely move my arm as I did so many. Sorry. Anchorman. What have we got here, Ben?
All right. Number one. Let's see what it is. Ah. A 1986 VW Vanagon Synchro.
I think that's Vanagon.
Vanagon.
Well, whatever. Vanagon with the wind. I ain't driving this thing.
So, who would drive a 1986 VW Vanagon? Vanagon?
White supremacists from rural Michigan.
No, I can say this much. Okay,
militia.
So
it's awful.
This vehicle is in Northwest Connecticut. It's a Vanagon. I can tell you this much. Whoever owns it smokes so much pot.
Wait, is Connecticut big enough to actually have corners?
Sort of.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm on the West Coast. I have no idea.
It's big sky country. Under.
It is. They just sort of, the whole state is separated into quadrants. So, and they're given numbers. There's 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Like counties.
And, yeah, that's it. Kind of.
So let's go over some of the specs on this beast. All-wheel drive. Volkswagen Vanagon Synchro. Asking $3,600. It's an 86. It's got a rebuilt transmission at a 198,830 miles. Pretty specific.
Ooh, we're told that it's well cared for and runs good.
215,000 miles on it. New front brakes, pads, and discs. New tires have all service records and title.
I don't know if runs good is going to be the right description. I think walks sort of slowly.
It's an ambler.
As a general rule, I don't trust any Craigslist ad if the person only knows how to type in caps lock.
Right.
They're shouting at you. They want you to buy it. So who?
Runs good.
Hey!
Alex, who would drive a 1986 VW Vanagon Synchro?
Well, you know, I think maybe a Canadian. I'm gonna vote for a Canadian.
Okay.
And I say that because one of our lovely contributors and editors is Canadian and loves Volkswagens inexplicably. I don't understand. But he would... He's actually going to be guilty. I mean, be jealous that we've been talking about this because he would have been very excited about it.
I can imagine. Michelle, who do you think would drive this thing?
You know that guy that saw the double rainbow? this is the Yankee version of him because I just looked up Colebrook, Connecticut, and it is surrounded by the Wyandotte State Forest, Mohawk State Forest, Pagnot State Forest, Naipaug State Forest, People's State Forest, Algonquin State Forest, Interstate Forest, like all the way around. It's just state forest because it's at the top of Connecticut by Massachusetts. So this is like a total hippie.
So you would drive one, you're saying?
I don't live in the – I live in urban –
But you're a hippie,
Beach.
Right? Ben always says.
Ben says.
That's just when he's mad at me.
Ben. Say Ben.
I say it with affection.
I say it with scorn and malice.
Oh, I bet you do, Ben.
Who wants to do our next vehicle?
We haven't gotten to Steven yet.
Oh.
I already said they smoke a lot of pot.
Okay, and I said the white supremacist. So there you go. Next vehicle, Ben.
All right, I shall pick another one from our supercomputer. Jackpot!
Yeah, that's something, all right. Next vehicle.
We have a 1975.
Yeah, I was going to say Zach Bowman drives this vehicle.
Done. 1975 Bronco.
Where's my gavel? Mm-hmm.
Let's move on. Zach Bowman drives
75
this.
Ford
Is it really
Bronco.
That easy? Yes.
1-ton axles, fuel injected 300 straight six, no less. C6 transmission, big ass tires, located in Palmer.
No,
outside
it's
of
Anchorage.
Anchorage.
Tigers as shown on picture included.
Wow. Bowman.
Yeah, Zach Bowman drives this car. What's next, Ben?
Well, that did that. Do you have anything else to interject, Alex?
No, I mean, that is so Zach. That is so Zach.
Maybe with a little bit of Jeff Ross, but mostly Zach Bowman. But
mostly Zach.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fair enough.
Like if Zach and Jeff had a baby.
Ooh. Little.
wave of nausea.
That's what that is.
Oh, all Zach right. Free. Sorry, lunch is coming up a little bit.
All right, I'll pick another one.
Next.
Ah, we're moving up in time. It seems we have a 1991 Toyota Truggy. This looks capable.
Michelle would drive this.
I would.
Michelle would totally drive this, and I would absolutely ride with her.
It's something, all right. Okay, let's go over the specs here. $13,500 in Micronesia. Didn't know they had room there to drive vehicles, but hey, who am I to judge?
It's not that tiny.
I want to see what other cars are for sale on Micronesia Craigslist. God, this is
awesome.
Sorry. We should focus on the Truggy. What's Truggy? What is that?
It sounds like a racial slur of some stripe, but I'm not certain. Anyway,
it's a really large troll.
Yes. 91 Toyota Hilux 4x4 with the V-type 6-cylinder engine. Full exterior steel cage and body with a new suspension. Missing links front with all-pro springs. Front is mounted out 12 inches. Fully rebuilt front and rear axles with 410 gears and locker in the rear. 38-inch bogger tires with 15x12 trail-ready beadlocks. Cold AC, new compact disc player.
I know who's going to drive this. I know.
Who?
Professional zombie hunter.
Very good choice. That's hard to beat. Steven, you said Michelle.
Michelle would drive this.
Michelle, who would drive this besides you? Or a zombie hunter? Or a zombie hunting Michelle?
Ooh.
Yes.
Michelle the zombie slayer?
Yeah.
That's it. Okay, Alex, I gave in and I looked at the other cars for sale in Micronesia. There's someone with a 2010 370Z Nismo.
Ooh.
I mean, it looks like all of our cars. It's a Corolla, Audi A4, Accord.
Now, are these U.S. dollars or Micronesian pesetas or something?
Well, Guam is a what am I call it, right?
Protectorate or
US.
Something?
Yeah, so don't they use dollars?
Sure, I have no idea. Probably. But yeah, this is some. I have no idea who would drive this. A South Pacific version of Bowman. Whatever that would look like.
No, it's Michelle. Michelle drives it.
Okay.
Michelle, she wins.
Michelle wins. She gonna drive it up the side of a dune.
She gonna drive it.
She gonna drive
it. Ooh, I'm getting excited, y'all. We're getting a bonus.
She gonna drive it good.
All right, Ben, what's our last option here?
All right, our last one is a bonus round.
Whee!
This is a bonus round sound effect?
There, that part's the bonus.
Okay. pretty sure that's a lie.
So I will read you a description of a real living human being, and you will tell me what that person drives. So this is Meet Your Roadmates in reverse. You understand how that works?
Oh, this is awkward.
You ever played this version of the game?
No, this is my first time.
Oh,
it's all of our first times.
It's okay.
Hey, no,
we played it with Vin Diesel.
I don't know.
But
sorry.
Okay, so this actually comes from, I believe, an eBay post, and this is what the person writes. I will leave out the car because it is mentioned. This auction prize is not simply about a car, but about a woman in a car. A woman who is selling the opportunity to accompany her on a 4-night, 5-day adventure on a Le Mans tour in her blank. A woman who many would say easily earns the adjectives attributable to any suitable bidder of this auction. The journey begins on Thursday morning with an early departure from Folkestone, UK to Calais, France via Eurotunnel. At Calais, you, the damsel, and 25 other cars will form a convoy driving all day with a leisurely lunch break to arrive at your magnificent hotel in the Loire Valley, Spending a chill-out day on Friday, you will explore the Loire Valley in convoy, visiting nearby chateau. Shut up. French markets.
And studied French in high school.
I don't know.
I already have my answer, so this is just
okay.
Fluff at
you get
point.
The idea.
I think we've heard enough.
You get what? The idea. Who would? What would she drive? What would this woman drive?
Lexus SC430.
Okay.
In red
for the
though.
Stylish whore. Alex,
yeah, it's a red Lexus SC.
Alex.
I'm going to say Bristol Blenheim because she probably thinks
the bomber
she's
plane,
but in reality, not so much.
Michelle?
I'm going to say the Cross Cabriolet.
Well, you see, since she's going to Le Mans, I'm going to say Pontiac Le Mans. About 1989.
Here's a sample.
What is it, Ben?
The answer is A, 2009 Porsche 911 Carrera 4S. Sorry.
She's a classy call girl. And we were all wrong. So congratulations.
Does that mean I win?
Yeah.
Well,
Ben takes home the grand prize of helping me put all this stuff away when we're done.
Oh. Well.
Well, there you go.
I put the picture of the nice young lady in the...
Moderately young lady.
In the document.
Okay. Well, very good. You know what, guys? I think we've got ourselves a show here.
That
good
was
hustle.
A show.
That
yeah.
Was, that's we're, about, we're just about at full circle here in the roundabout.
We're done.
Yeah.
All right, bye.
Yeah, goodbye. Good.
See
good,
ya.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. No, great job, everyone. Thank you for joining
thanks,
us.
Thanks, teacher.
If there's an awkward pause, that's a great way to fill it, Ben. I'm not going to lie. So, Stephen J. Ewing from Autoblog.com.
That's me.
You're the fleet manager.
I am.
You get everyone that works at the Autoblog. You facilitate press vehicles for them.
I do.
That's a pretty monumental responsibility.
I write stuff. You, I edit stuff,
I wasn't
too.
I'm cutting you short, Stephen.
He's a programmer.
The word editor is in my title as well.
But your biggest responsibility.
Getting them all them cars.
And you do a damn fine job of it. There are always reviews coming up on there.
We do. Thank you for travel down the road back again.
Alex Kirstein. Did you say Kirstein?
Kirstein!
Or I would be.
It's Kirstein. It's Kirstein.
Okay, close enough. From Hooniverse.
Just think of the car, Christine.
Hooniverse.com.
Yes.
We're glad this is your first time in the roundabout, and I'm tempted to ask you if you enjoyed yourself or not, but I'm afraid you might be honest on the air.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, please don't ask me that. I don't. I'm afraid of what I'll say.
That's what he said about the VW bug.
That's Ben's ego.
Maybe this foghorn will answer your question. Wah, wah.
So, well, thank you for taking your time out of your day to join us. We do appreciate it, Alex.
Well, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again, Josh. Alex.
Oh, hey, yeah. Whoever I am.
Yes. So you'd like to plug your Facebook page for Hooniverse?
Yeah, it's facebook.com/Hooniverse. But that, of course, assumes you know how to spell Hooniverse. Hopefully you'll give us some assistance with that on the Roundabout website.
Oh, definitely. We will put the appropriate link next
correct
to your name.
Correct spelling.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Yes, that is what we do best here at Roundabout. Mm-hmm.
But it is Hoon, H-O-O-N, Iverse.
However you spell
Iverse.
It.
Iverse.
We're averse to having it spelled any other way.
That's
the name of the site. Follow us on Facebook, and that's another way to get our wonderful, fringy content.
And on Twitter, you are at The Hooniverse.
The Hooniverse, yes.
Good to know. Good to know. Well, thank you. Thanks again, Alex, for joining us. We do appreciate it. Great job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Michelle, Joey Naranjo.
Craigie.
Are you guys going to have a moment?
Joining us again from the Autobytel headquarters, the epicenter, really.
Absolutely. It's actually the...
in Irvine, California.
The international and intergalactic headquarters.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So the folks in Andromeda would call in to Irvine here?
Yes. Absolutely.
Fascinating. You guys are still, I understand, working on relaunching the Autobytel website. How's that going?
It's a lot of work. I was at work till 8:15 last night at my desk.
Ouch. So. But you've got the ball chair.
I do have a ball chair.
This business has its perks, let me tell you.
I had to bring my own ball chair.
Well, that's a shame.
Gosh dang it.
Well, once the site relaunches, you start bringing some buku bucks in, you can get them for everybody then.
Absolutely.
You're the managing editor at autobuytel.com.
I am indeed.
So.
I am indeed. Did you want to know what I was working on?
If you care to share.
Well, actually, this Sunday, you're going to laugh. Don't laugh at me, please. Mm-hmm. Please don't laugh at me. I have to speak at a self-esteem day for women because we actually have a favorite organization we work with here called Working Wardrobes. It's workingwardrobes.org, and they get women that are in transitional housing, getting out of prison, all that stuff, and back into the workplace, and give them clothing and job interview tips and all this stuff. And so I'm going to speak to that on Sunday.
Great, Michelle.
I know. I have no self-esteem, and I'm going to go talk to these people who...
I can't do it. I'm not good enough. It's okay. Neither am I.
I understand.
Well, thank you, Michelle. As always, it has been a joy.
Thank you, Craigie.
And last but not least, Benjamin Colonel Sanders. Thank you for doing the technical side of things and getting the podcast edited and posted in a reasonable time.
Always a pleasure.
And the fans should thank you for that as well.
Always a pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you, Ben.
So wrapping things up.
Thanks, Ben.
Is this Southern Day or
I
something?
I like it.
Oh, it's a humdinger.
Anything that uses humdinger is good in my book. Before we go, we've got a little contest that's going on right now. Jimmy Stewart.
About going to start, right?
Yes. It's just starting. This is the first announcement of it. Jimmy Stewart, a.k.a. Roab Mr. Stewart on Twitter, or Rich Henyon on Facebook, is giving away a special prize to Roundabout fans, and we're going to have more info on that in coming episodes, but be aware. He's going to be asking you to post something, I believe it was on the Roundabout page on Facebook, right?
Correct.
So be aware. We'll have more details in the future coming up, but he is personally giving something away to the Roundabout community. So
exciting.
It's a contest you may want to enter.
Although I think if you pay attention to our Facebook page, facebook.com/roundaboutshow.
That's it.
/roundaboutshow.
facebook.com/roundaboutshow. You probably will get in on the action sooner rather than later as he posts it in the middle of the week sometimes. Yes. So
keep your eyes peeled, as it were.
Check out that.
Yes. And with that, you can watch Roundabout Live every Friday evening starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 3:30.
I'm watching it live now.
You're not just watching. You're doing it, Ben. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family of fine programs, including Autoline Detroit, Autoline After Hours, and, of course, Autoline Daily, which is my baby. If you have a question or comment you want addressed, you can always get in touch with us on our ROAB hotline, and the number to call is 1-559-ROAB-411. That's ROAB 411. In numbers, that is 1-559-762-2411. We appreciate hearing from you on our Google Voice number, so feel free to drop us a line. If you want to stay in touch with us, you can do that at Twitter. It's twitter.com/roundaboutshow, or, of course, Facebook, as Ben mentioned a few minutes ago, facebook.com/roundaboutshow. We appreciate it if you give us a like, as always. And if you never want to miss an action-packed episode, and who doesn't, you can subscribe to Roundabout on iTunes or the Zune Marketplace like me and Alex do. And with that, thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week as we circle the Roundabout, and we'll talk to you then.
Why would you have that noise as like a stored sound bite?
I was on the toilet the other day, and, you know.
I was thinking about using this one because I didn't get to it in time for our septic tank.
Did story. You actually record it while you were on the toilet?
Wait, again. Michelle was like aghast.
Oh.
Does that feel better, Michelle?
Did you have a hidden microphone when I was there visiting?
The ball chair really works your digestive system, right?
I can't.
Keeps it in shape.
You know what that is? That's someone dumping mayonnaise onto concrete.
Well, so, I don't need dinner now. Thanks, guys. Thank
you. You're going to save your pasty for later?
From start to finish, I've been completely disgusted.
Well, awesome. We got to thank our chatters on that.
He's not only lactose intolerant, he's poo-averse.
Oh, wait.
Born Joshua Topolsky, too, and he changed his name.
Should we not have Michelle say the welcome to Roundabout thing because you do it over the music?
I always do it wrong.
Yeah, why don't we have you do that, Steven, and... Well, I'm going to say it's for Skype reasons, and Alex, I'm going to have you say this is Roundabout, because we usually have the guests say that.
This is Roundabout.
So way to beat after Ben says, I'm producer Ben Sanders, just go, this is Roundabout.
Yeah, except say it with
enthusiasm, with like you want to be gusto. Here, even if you have to pretend.
This is Roundabout, I guess.
As soon as you hear the music start playing, Alex, that's when you say it.
Okay. Right, how about right after the music stops playing?
Yes.
It's a Roundabout.
But you never know when that is, if you've never heard the song before.
Or even if you've heard it 83 times, you know.
All right, Alex, I'll give you you need to emulate this. Ready?
This is Roundabout.
No one will ever do it as well as that. Or as good as goodly.
As swelly.
As swelly.
Whoa.
That's a professional radio man from Columbia Broadcasting that was in our studio.
This
here.
Is Roundabout.
There you
that's
go.
Suitable wow. Facsimile.
Save it. Save it for the show.
Sounds fun. You can always patch that in.
You think?